Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. We take you to Charlie Polillo. Welcome in. Man,
big night last night as the Astros won game one of the World Series. No,
they didn't play.
Game.
They
would have won that game.
Honestly.
They would have won that game.
All right. What do you think the ratings are going to be here in Houston for that game one?
I don't even have a benchmark to
I would imagine pretty low.
Yeah,
my Shiva getter.
I don't care
about my Shiva getter was broke on it.
I am interested in it, but it's almost like I don't want to watch it. I am interested in it. I had a better offer yesterday than watching a World Series, so yeah. I took that. But I just,
it's a tribute to you that you did have it.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just not sure that I really want to watch it.
I checked in, but it's really hard to, you know, after you've been there, it's like, I don't know. How can you compare it to, you know, you just lost, Jennifer Lopez and now you gotta, you know, look at, I don't know
No, you just lost her, and now you got to watch her with somebody else.
Yeah,
you got to watch her with A-Rod.
Yeah,
you got to watch her with
A-Rod.
Right.
Anybody
yeah.
but
and now
A-Rod.
She's with A-Rod. Yeah, right. And you know what? Child fans are they're A-Rod.
Yeah, I think they're almost worse than that.
Yeah, no, they're well.
Who's worse? Okay, I'm gonna ask.
Does it get more shots than A-Rod?
Here we go. I'm gonna ask you guys. I'm gonna throw some. Okay, who's worse? Ready? I'm gonna start off light. Raiders fans or Child fans? When I say Child,
well,
fans,
well, one's more dangerous than the other,
right?
What do you mean by worse? I don't want to be. I don't want to be around Raider fans.
Yeah,
because you could die.
But Raider fans aren't in your face because they don't win. We got to watch Child fans in almost every sport.
Yeah.
Actually, every sport now.
Yeah, every sport.
So what's your pick?
Child fans.
Okay. Yeah, Child fans are the worst.
All right. Child fans or Cowboy fans?
Oh, Cowboy fans.
I don't have the same.
Because they don't win and they think they do.
I don't have the same deep-seated hate that John has, even though he's from Chicago.
No, honestly.
I actually think Child fans might be worse.
It's so horrible. What are you talking about? You're so myopic, you don't really see what's going on with your team.
Hold on, I want to do this. First five, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Just a quick polling of who you think are the absolute worst fans in any sport. I would say Utah Jazz fans have to be in the mix. They were going to be one of the ones I was going to throw out there. Utah Jazz fans have to be in the mix.
Oh, and they're unaware, by the way. I was talking to – she's not a huge Jazz fan, but she's from Utah. She likes the Jazz. She's unaware of their reputation. I said, do you know about your reputation?
Who?
Just some woman.
Okay.
And she goes, what? What are you guys – what are you talking about? I said, just Google Utah Jazz fan. And she found out. She was like,
They're completely unaware. They have no self-aware. And they don't – I battled against them sometimes in the playoffs. You make one comment, and then somebody somehow finds it. Maybe somebody follows me for draft. I don't know. And then what happens is they spread it to other Jazzers. And I had so many Jazzers coming at me. And I was like they don't think the racist stuff is real. That's not even real. That's been proven to be false. I'm like – that's not proven to be false. You can talk to any people who were on the Rockets teams in the mid-90s will tell you.
No, they were absolutely screaming racial. No. I was on the floor. Literally on the floor shooting the Rockets 94 and 95. And oh my God, the things that those people said and how unbelievably belligerent and ugly. They didn't care what they said. And the Rockets just, you know, whatever. That's Utah. All right, here's my list. Cowboy fan is number one because they really are. Number two is condescending soccer fan during the World Cup. What an a-hole. Number three is condescending Astro numbers guy.
That's called Astro's Twitter. Really.
Twitter Astro's Twitter.
Tony calls him true fan.
True. Yeah. They're number.
Whoa. Worse than Child fans? But
worse than Child fans.
Wow.
Okay. Then Child fan, because my college roommate is a Child fan, and he during the playoffs, and he's a good guy, and he still couldn't help it because he's a Child fan.
Yeah,
they can't help it.
They really can't help it.
And then last is I don't know who would fall into there. Maybe Eagle fan. But that's just scary. Eagle and Raider fan is just scary.
Eagle fan has some Child fan in him.
Oh, Ohio State fan. I'm sorry.
You sure you don't want to read?
Yeah, wait a minute. Whoa. Going back. Forgot about Ohio State fan. Holy crap. What a bunch of a-holes.
Go ahead.
All right. It goes Cowboy fan, Ohio State fan, condescending soccer fan, Astros Twitter, and then what was my – I forget my other one.
You had Child.
Child, and then Child. Child is behind all those people.
I would say you have a pretty good list. I might put, first of all, pretty much any college football fan that has to be in there. I mean, the college football fans are the worst because they are the angriest. They have school ties many times. Like, college football fans usually are the worst fans.
Yeah.
Usually the worst to deal with because they just en masse will come after you. But I would say my Jazz... I'm obviously taking condescending soccer fan out because you clearly don't know about soccer, John, in the World Cup. So I would say Utah Jazz fan, for me, has to be in there because they have gone long and strong for years and years and still are totally they're not self-aware what type of a-holes they are. They're the ones who tape you with their phone as you're coming off it. Hey, James Harden, remember when you slapped the phone out of the guy's hand who was right there ragging on him? In Houston. And I don't know if you know or not, James now has a history of messing people's phones up whenever they're taping them. This is now two times we've seen it. One lady had her phone thrown up on top of a building, and Jazz fan had his smacked down. James doesn't.
No, he don't care
James
about phones.
James is shopping. James doesn't like being taped.
No, Utah phone, he don't give a rat's ass about.
No.
All right. No. So what's your list?
I'd have to think. I think Ohio State fan. No, I'm going to go Child fan one, Ohio State fan two, Jazz three, Cowboy four, and I'm not going to put one of my hometown team fan bases at you, like Astros Twitter true fan, but let me think. There's got to be somebody that we're really missing right now. Baseball, football, basketball. Alabama fan might be up there. They've really gotten obnoxious over the years now. It's hard to...
Well, only because they keep on
winning.
Who are
the worst that I deal with? Who is the...
West Virginia fan?
Yeah, West Virginia, but that's understandable. I'm not really mad at West Virginia fan. You know who is real a-holes, undercover a-holes? Jaguar fans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Jacksonville Jaguar fans are smarter than you fans. They're a lot like Astro, like hardcore Astro analytics Twitter. Like, I know what you're talking about. We're not talking about all Astros fans on
right.
Twitter.
No, no, no.
And even all people who consider themselves.
I'm specifically talking about that
Jason
one
Marbach.
Dude.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about one guy.
One guy.
You're talking about one guy.
Right.
But I got to tell you, man, a Jaguar fan and Titan fan are not the easiest people to deal with either. When you, like, Jaguar fan just assumes you're just dumb because you don't clearly don't know as much as they do.
Well, right, right, absolutely. Well, of course, in any of those fan bases, you don't know as much as they do. I forgot tennis fan, too. Ken Hoffman.
You just have a vendetta against one guy from each fan base.
This is individual. Why don't you just start saying Jason Marbach.
Jason Marbach, Ken Hoffman. All right. But every Ohio State fan, okay? Yeah. They're every Ohio State fan.
I think you guys are missing one fan base. And I'm surprised Lance doesn't mention them.
I'm just forgetting
them. El Tree fan.
Yeah, but I haven't had enough.
And by the way,
let
me clarify. This isn't about Mexican people in general.
You're saying Americans, Mexican Americans who are caping for El Tri?
No, it's any El Tri fan, because I don't know if necessarily Mexican Americans are throwing batteries at players as they walk off on the field.
Oh, yeah,
or
dangerous.
Bags of urine when you go to Mexico City.
Yeah.
They're, and because I like soccer, I've I grew up in Southern California, so I've dealt with El Tri fans since I could understand sports. They're like at the top of the list for me.
See, I'm sure that there's an international soccer base that is considered terrible and just insufferable. Somebody like Chelsea, or I don't know. But I'm sure there's somebody who has that reputation. Man City, Man U, I don't know. Maybe Barcelona, I don't know. But I'm sure there's somebody like that. Let's get Melvin in here. Here's our number, 713-780-3776. We got a lot of stuff to get to, but this just kind of came up. What's up, Melvin?
Yeah, y'all talking about college fans too, right? Y'all said Ohio State.
Yeah. We said Ohio State. They're dangerous.
I got two. I played for Baylor back in the early 90s, and one time we went up to Colorado and beat Colorado while they was defending national championships. And when I got back to the sideline, I got doused with Coors Light.
What?
That was John. Did that?
Wait a minute. You That's say John, that like it's a bad thing. Okay.
I was sucking on my jersey the rest of the game.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, wait. Who were the worst fans that you had to deal with? Well, obviously they're way up there.
The most condescending fans was Rice, because they would sit there and yell out, "That's all right. That's okay. Y'all gonna work for us one day."
I can't believe that was the reputation they had, especially in the 90s. It's quieted down quite a bit. Anybody else?
No, that's about it.
All right,
that's funny.
Appreciate it. How about Melvin telling
Coors Light? That's
Colorado,
an awesome fan base.
Colorado fan was throwing their own beer.
Well, thank you.
Well, it's appropriate. The Rockies.
Yeah, no,
that's the appropriate place to be throwing Coors Light
that's
on
right.
people.
What are you gonna do? Are you ain't gonna get? You think they're gonna throw Bud on you in Colorado?
No, nah. Is that El Frobo or Frodo?
Frodo. I think it's Frodo. What's up, Frodo?
What's up, guys? How's it been? It's been a while.
What's up, bro?
So, I got lists of terrible. I've been making lists of terrible fan bases for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I gotta say that my number one is Philly anything fan for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's
anything.
Hard to
anything Philly related. They're terrible. This is like the worst fan base. Like, period.
It's hard to argue. It really is hard to argue that. Okay, then who else then?
Two would be wrestling fan.
I hadn't thought about that. But
I'm a wrestling
good.
Fan myself, so I'm generalizing myself. But when you get a big group of them around, it's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
It's the absolute worst.
That's actually pretty good.
That's why I keep the small groups, guys. But yeah. So the number three, Golden State Warrior fan.
Oh.
Ooh, they have really, taken
really
it to
it
a new level.
They have kicked it
That's
up.
A really
but
good
any
one.
Any fan base that wins, though, aren't they obnoxious?
Yeah, but they're a condescending fan base that's a brand new fan base, too. That's what makes it so irritating.
Yeah, they're new money. They're like the Beverly Hillbillies out there.
They've calmed down, but number four is definitely New England Patriots.
Yeah, they have. Well, but that's a child fan. See, that's a child fan. He's a Red Sox fan. He's a Celtics fan, too.
Why do you think they calmed down?
We could totally throw Boston in general, actually,
all together.
Because, my lord, And then if the Boston, and if they win the World Series, I guarantee you they're going to go up to number two easily.
And then who would you put at five?
Five? angry Star Wars fan? Angry Star Wars fan,
yeah,
is
but...
by far the biggest crybaby, like undeserved crybaby out of the five. I mean, anyway, any order, they usually rearrange themselves, but
right.
It's usually those five.
When a new, but, when a yeah. new Star Wars movie comes out, they move up the
those
list.
Those are pretty good ones because I hadn't thought about
angry
some of them.
Angry Star Wars fans.
Star Wars fans will just,
yeah.
and they just can't believe, you know,
yeah,
like.
What, you don't know not, I mean.
What about Game of Thrones book reading? Book readers.
Oh, those are
you,
snobs.
You mean?
But I'm not a snob.
No, that's
you?
Not,
I am a reader. I read
on.
The books, but I'm
that's
not a snob
different.
About
that's
it.
That's snobby. Now, that's where Astro's Twitter will come in. True fan Twitter, at least. Game of Thrones book readers.
Yeah.
These are the people who look down on you.
Yeah.
They're very snobby.
Well, you don't know what happened in the book.
For some reason, Jaguar fans, for some reason, fall in there. I mean, it's been a trash team forever. for some reason, Jaguar fans are like that. And who else is
I
like
got
that?
The worst of the worst. I've got
some of the Red Rowdies can be.
I've
like
got
that
Lord
too.
Of the Rings fan.
What?
Who looks down on Marvel comic book movies?
Well, because it's a cartoon.
So
oh,
what?
There it is.
You're talking about Thor and
it's
Oak
a
and
stupid
Shield
cartoon.
Three times a week. That's a cartoon.
No, it's not a cartoon. Okay, it's a real thing.
No,
it happened in Middle Earth.
A real.
It happened in Middle Earth.
They're dragons.
Okay.
And elves.
And elves. And they shoot arrows and they fly on eagles. Yeah, it happened.
They fly on giant
it's
eagles.
In a book. I read it. Okay. It's
so
true.
Comic, you're reading that too?
No, no, I don't read comic books because they're cartoons.
They're called graphic novels.
No, they're not graphic novels.
Novels are in the title.
If you just look at pictures, it's not a book.
No, you read.
No. You know what I'm doing today?
You guys know what book I'm reading? Y'all can keep reading those books. You know what books I'm reading?
Poker books.
Super System 2 by Doyle Brunson.
You know where I'm going today?
I see you got a Prime Social thing on.
Well, got my Prime Social shirt on.
So, Prime Social is where John and I go to play poker. Last time, I was in a tournament on Friday. And I finished 16th, usually top 10 getting the money. Sometimes they chop at 10, sometimes they chop at 8, meaning whatever your chip stack is, they'll give you a percentage of the winnings based on your chip stack. So you really just have to get to the final table in most cases. And I've done that 4 or 5 times in the tournaments we played there. John's done it plenty of times. AJ finished in the stink hole again.
No.
He was third chip leader. He was third chip leader and went chasing.
AJ.
And he went chasing instead of just folding everything.
With ace 10? Probably AJ.
He's got to learn just to get to the final table. Listen, guys, we're telling you right now, when you're playing in tournaments, it's a different way than playing cash games, obviously. And you can play in either one of them. They got cash games going all the time. Starting from Thursday to Monday, it's 24 hours that they're open. And the place is always packed, which is good if you're a poker player because you know you can get action. You can go in there and there will be a table you can get into. That's what you want. Tournaments start every day at noon except on Sunday when they start at 2 o'clock. So you can get into Pot Limit Omaha tournaments on Wednesday, which is today. You can get the obviously the No Limit tournaments, the Hold'em tournaments. You've got buy-ins. I mean, you've got rebuys. You've got add-ons. But the main thing is you can go in there and compete for real cash in a beautiful, safe location. They've got free valet parking, so you don't have to worry about the parking issue. Great food and drinks that you can have right there at the table. And, yes, the best poker in the city of Houston. It's become the hot spot. Go and check it out for yourself. They're at 7801 Westheimer right there just between Fondren and Dunvale and Hillcroft. You can stop in a freestanding building, and they're waiting for you today at Prime Social. You can go to Prime Social TX for more information. PrimeSocialTX.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's 720 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I will say this, though, about that. Lance and I, during the break, somebody is disparaging Pat Mahomes and saying, well, he's benefiting from Andy Reid and he's benefiting from those wide receivers. I will say this. It's easier to look a lot better when you got Tyreek Hill running you know, these you know, tight holes that you have to pass. Now, he does hit Kelce on slants and stuff like that, but it seems like Tyreek Hill's running all over the place, wide open, and then Kareem Hunt's coming out of the backfield, wide open.
So, Tyreek Hill, I remember when Chris Ballard was in charge of the personnel side of the Chiefs, and they drafted him. I'm like, I was surprised y'all drafted him with this heat he has. And then DeMarcus Robinson right after that from Florida, he goes, yeah, we took a lot of heat from the media.
How does media like Tyreek Hill now?
He said, we didn't expect to get that much, and but they did. DeMarcus Robinson was a guy with, you know, multiple suspensions and positive tests, just weed smoker is what he was. But anyway, and I remember him being in camp. And I studied Tyreek Hill, and I didn't. I mean, I watched him. I could see he's really, really fast, a great return man. But that was a big learning experience. He played at West Alabama, and I'm like, not sharp with his routes. It seems to be lazy getting in and out of breaks. And that was a big learning. That was my second year doing it. And, you know, it's considered, does he have the ability? What you're supposed to look for is, do they have the ability to do something? Like the Rankins does not have the ability to meet speed rushers out at the edge. He physically doesn't have the ability to do that. So that's a problem. Tyreek Hill has the ability to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm banging on him, and I'm like downgrading him for nitpicky stuff that, like he's not going to get any coaching. Like, this guy runs a 4.240. He was a track star at Oklahoma State. Like, it's a well-known fact.
No,
he was
he's 200 meters, really fast.
Really fast. And but my whole thing was, I gave him an undraftable grade because of the off the field issues. I just figured no one would touch him. I gave him a low grade. They drafted him. I was very surprised on the broadcast. And then I remember during the summer, Ballard goes, he's gonna be a Pro Bowler as a rookie. Watch, this guy's gonna be an All Pro one day. I'm like, as a returner? He goes, as a receiver. I'm like, Chris, come on. He's like, guy's like 5'9". How is he going to be an All Pro? You think Alex Smith is going to be able to? He goes, I'm just telling you. He goes, we don't have anybody that can even stay remotely close, including Peters. Like, nobody. He said he's unguardable. And I really didn't. I didn't realize what he was talking about there. But sure enough, man, he is unguardable. He's a big one. Travis Kelce, for everything he does. Yeah. Wherever Tyreek Hill is on the field, you have to be terrified.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at that. And then you got Kareem Hunt, and you got Travis. I mean, listen, there is something to be said for now. Dak has got. We'll see how good Cooper is. We'll see. But there is something to be said for how can I pass to anybody when nobody can get open, when we have the worst set of wide receivers?
Yeah.
And you know, that there is something to be said for that, that Pat Mahomes moves into. First of all, he's got Andy Reid, who's really good at scheming. And secondly, he's got all these weapons. You can't be in a better place.
But this guy who – this came up because the guy said, I respect your opinion, and maybe I'm not seeing it, but I feel Mahomes benefits from dynamic playmakers and, of course, the Reid system. Well, I think any quarterback would benefit from throwing to those guys. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But here's where I think he goes way off the rails. He said, I feel he would be a bad quarterback in Houston. His throws remind me of Ryan Mallett with slightly more touch. That's the most disrespectful thing you can say about a person.
Yeah.
And what I see with Pat Mahomes is an incredibly confident leader who's extremely intelligent in terms of reading defenses and understanding what to do. And I'd been told that by Brett Veach, that one of the things that really shocked him was when they put him on the whiteboard. He didn't know certain concepts coming from Tech, but he learned them like instantaneously and retained that information. And I see a guy who makes some really, really good throws too. Yeah. I think he benefits from the playmakers and the scheme to the point that he has the greatest start to a career ever in the history of a quarterback? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that. I don't think he'd do that at Dallas.
Alex Smith had the same skill, guys, as Pat Mahomes. Yeah, right. And they weren't nearly as explosive. Right. That's exactly the point. Well, look at this dude.
I don't think Alex Smith had the same skill. I think Pat Mahomes has more skill than Alex Smith.
No. Skill guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He had all those guys, and he didn't throw. He averaged, 8 yards a throw as opposed to Mahomes? I mean, less than 8 yards a throw because he checked down and he doesn't have the arm strength. Mahomes, you're right, MPJ. That's the difference. Look at that arm. Just his arm skill,
his arm talent.
Arm talent is unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, and speaking of getting coached up, I wrote my article a day early. I wrote my article yesterday. It's on Buster Olney was on here, and he said that Nathan Eovaldi would be a great fit for the Astros. So I wrote about that, just tweeted it out. I hope you'll read it. It's on SportsMap, but I just retweeted it. If you want to read about that, Nathan Eovaldi coming home to play for the hometown Astros. Let's get Doug in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Doug?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I have a question. We're talking about worst sports fans. I wanted to get your feel on what city. We don't have to go teams, but what city has the best sports fans?
The best sports.
I can tell you, I went around and me and my brother did a stadium tour not too long ago, tried to make it to a game in every NFL stadium. And that guy said New England Patriots were the worst. New England fans were the most kind and welcoming fans of anyone I'd, any stadium I've been to. And Philly, by far, was the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best fans, I don't think anyone's putting. I don't think anyone's putting.
I will say this, going around, and I've been to most every city for Astros playoffs. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I've hit. I go to the playoffs when the Astros are in the playoffs, and the Cardinals fans were the best. The Cardinals fans were, and you know, we can get a little bit obnoxious and whatnot, and they just were fun. They were just they were nice, and they had a nice good luck and all this stuff. They were really good. We had a lot of fun with Green Bay fans because we've been up there a couple of times.
Green Bay fans are considered to be pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know, Nebraska fans for years had the reputation.
Now, people have other opinions of that they're two-faced and they're
Nebraska.
People, Nebraska.
I have heard that. Mm-hmm. I think we heard it from the same person because I remember hearing that relatively recently.
Well, going up to Missouri a lot, there's people up there that are like, "Oh, those people
that's
are
Nebraska versus Missouri." You know about that?
Right. There's beef there. All right, 727 ESPN 97.
I'd say Longhorn fans are probably some of the best.
I would say that too, but a lot of people might disagree with you.
Someone did. Someone specifically talked about a certain segment of the Longhorn population. He said Pakistani Longhorn fan is the worst. Seemed very specific to one person.
Well, I would have thought anyone who starts their name with Longhorn.
I'm kidding. Longhorn fans when they're anyone who starts, not in the top five.
People, I'm sure. Someone who starts their name with Aggie does not like someone who starts their name with Longhorn.
Or vice versa.
That's exactly right. Lanny is here. Let's save some people some. He starts his name with Lanny.
Yes, and Lanny, we've got a $3,000 winner this week. You know, every week I get a list of the big winners, and I'm always excited to see, you know, how the limits are being pushed. And this week we got we're up in the $3,000 range for a brand new customer.
Yeah, we absolutely are. In fact, we got a couple of those. Warren from Houston, nearly $3,300 on just home and auto insurance. We're just getting going there. Corey from Dickinson, $3,150 on TV, cell phone, and energy. And then Shannon from Pearland, $2,500 on TV and energy. And when you hear the winners here, the thing that you hear is it's not just two bills. It's not, hey, they're just killing it on insurance, which we are. But it's just all over the map because people are just overpaying everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about I've been talking about the bills and the insurance. I want to focus on the insurance for a second because you guys made some changes and some alterations because the first time I checked on home and auto, the savings weren't enough to make the switch. That was like a year and a half ago. Then it all changed, and I ended up saved $800, which is kind of on the low end. I guess I had a really good deal from my, you know, my group package, my bundled package from my place, and you still saved me $800. But there's a lot of people saving into the thousands with you guys with their insurance coverage.
No, there's no question. And look, there's strength in numbers here, right? When we first start this out, we're working with just a few different vendors. Now we work with over 30 different folks, so it's easy for us to go out now and shop the market and truly find you better deals than you have. But the story there is the same as everywhere else. Once you start paying it, it slowly creeps up over time. That's how every single bill works. And eventually, you're going to be losing. Your situation's exactly the same.
That's Lanny from Bill Advisor. And trust me when I tell you this, guys, 2.5 years I've been using their service. I put people on them from local to national. If you have friends and family members outside of the city of Houston, they can still work on your bills as well. All you have to do to check out your homeowner's insurance and get a quote from them within seconds. I said seconds. Text money to 232323. That's money to 232323. They will get right back with you. You give them your address. They'll give you a quote. It's that simple. Make sure that you check out BillAdvisor.com. Thanks, Lanny.
Thanks, Lance.
Call me Rain Man. Money like a shower. That's my rain dance.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, a lot of stuff to get to that we haven't even gotten close yet. We haven't even touched on the stuff, and it's already a half hour into the show. First, because we've forgotten so far, big ups to Austin Robinson from University of Houston, an Episcopal kid. He was a quarterback at Episcopal. He went to UT San Antonio, wanted to play quarterback. That was the only place that would let him play quarterback because everybody thought he could be an NFL safety. Well, he's playing linebacker now at the University of Houston, transferred, finally said, you know what, that maybe everybody was right, that I should probably move to the defensive side of the ball. Dude was the National Defensive Player of the Week from the Walter Camp Foundation, co-defensive player of the week honors from the American Athletic Conference as well. So he had himself a huge game. So congratulations to Austin Robinson. JT played against him at when he was at Kincaid and Episcopal.
Good for him.
Yeah. So he has moved on. And it was pretty obvious that he should be. He has the size and athletic ability to be playing on Sundays defensively. He really does. Now he's moved to linebacker. He's gotten so big and strong that he was a strong safety. Now we'll see. We'll see whether or not you'll have to take a look at him because this is his last year. This is a fifth-year senior, so you're going to have to take a look at him. But he won National Player of the Week, so congratulations to him and the Cougs. We'll talk to Major about him on Thursday morning right here, every Thursday morning.
What's his name again?
Austin Robinson.
Yeah, I think that's a guy who – let me check here. Let me see if that's who I'm talking about. I got a text from an agent just yesterday.
Really?
No, he was asking about somebody else.
Okay. So there's that. Okay. Let's get Juan in here because we'll finish up the sports fan thing because we got to talk about Chris Paul. What's going on, Juan?
Hey, man. What's up?
What do you say?
I was saying that I don't know if you guys follow MMA at all, but Conor McGregor fans are definitely some of the worst sports fans ever. Like, it's almost as bad as like certain like Notre Dame fans that claim this Irish heritage that isn't really there. It's the
so
worst.
So you're not talking about the Irish McGregor fans. You're just talking about the standard American, or you're talking about all of them? I think all of them are pretty brutal.
All of them are pretty bad, but the American McGregor fans are the worst because they claim to have like Elizabeth Warren-esque Native American heritage. It's like non-existent, and they want to be Irish so bad that they clamor to anything McGregor says, and it's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they are, and you know what? While we're at it, the Money Team fans, Floyd Mayweather fans, are brutal. Yep. McGregor and Mayweather are extremely similar
in
a lot of ways.
Have you been in Vegas for a McGregor fight?
I've
stayed at the same hotel. Dude.
I've heard it's brutal.
It is
loud all the time.
And you just... Okay, I'm just going to mind my own business here. I'm going to go to my table.
Well, they're like soccer. They're like the soccer hooligans. I mean, they're just waiting for something to jump off.
Yes, no, it is. It's like being at a Philadelphia game. You're like, holy crap, I'm going to mind my P's and Q's while I'm at this casino right now because it is. They're something.
Yeah, that was a good one. The McGregor fans, that's a pretty good one. But the Mayweather fans are super obnoxious too. It's just like, you know, because they jump on. It's kind of like, I think LeBron fans are pretty obnoxious. And I just mean the ones who follow him from team to team because they don't want to have to ever be on a losing team. I'm glad they get stuck with the Lakers now. Right. You're a Laker now.
Kobe fans are obnoxious, too, especially Pakistani Kobe fans.
Jordan fans.
Jordan fans are excellent. They're the best people.
They were a little obnoxious.
So So let me. Okay, so
I didn't have a problem with Jordan fans until it turned into Rockets get an asterisk for the championship, and then I was like, okay, Jordan fans, I got a little problem now. Now we got a problem.
Tiny says 5 is Raider fan, 4 is Cowboy fan. No, I can't. I got whatever. 5 Cowboy fan, 4 Cowboy fan, World Cup guy, Child fan, and the Gumps, Bama fans. You married a Bama fan. What are you talking about?
And LSU can't say Bama fan. That's like
no.
That's like, you know.
You want to talk about? You want to talk about myopic LSU fan? Okay. Yeah. Every year they should win the national championship without a quarterback.
I'm telling you, it's college football.
Yeah.
College football fan. If you step the wrong way, Iowa fan could jump on you. Like, where the hell did this come from, Iowa fan?
Yeah. Well, no. During the West Virginia game, I'm getting a text from Iowa State fan. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Hey, tell your boy Dana. What?
No.
Well, yeah, Iowa State fan, that's all you do every year. You beat somebody good, and then you lose 6 games. Well, that's what you do. Okay, let's talk about Chris Paul. First of all, big ups to Daryl Morey for tweeting out pot and kettle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Rajon Rondo.
Oh, with Rajon Rondo,
yes,
no kidding.
He said Daryl Morey just sent out a pot and a kettle, and that's it. Didn't say anything. Just sent out a pot and a kettle. Well done, Daryl Morey. So Rajon Rondo says, "What a horrible teammate." That everyone wants to believe Chris Paul is a good guy. They don't know he's a horrible teammate. They don't know how he treats people. Look at what he did last year when he was in L.A. trying to get the Clippers locker room. They don't want to believe he's capable of taunting and igniting an incident. Well, and he continues to say he didn't spit, despite the fact. Now, you did have to zoom in, and there was...
Yeah.
It was
not super
obvious. But he did get spit on him. He said... He denied it. He said, would I be standing there in that kind of position as opposed to being ready to get hit? If you spit in somebody's face, you got to be ready to be hit. Whatever. We saw the spit come out of your mouth, and it hit Chris Paul. Whether or not, I don't know. Well, I believe that he did it on purpose.
It looked like he gleeked on him. He might have an ability to gleek and make it look real slick. Like
Jose Altuve?
Some people can do this. I've seen people can gleek. I don't know. It's just called gleek when I was a kid. So I don't know where they can spit without you even...
I'm not which, even knowing.
Yeah, it's something that they do
where
they can spit.
There was definitely
you.
Spit.
Some came, yeah.
So he says he's a horrible teammate. Big baby Glenn Davis comes out as well and says, yes, I agree. On the Glenn... Here's what he says. Big Davis on Instagram... He says that Chris Paul is a very bad teammate. I played with both of them. CP3 is a very bad teammate.
And then he didn't elaborate at all.
No, that's all he said. Ben DuBose said this on the Glenn Davis IG comment regarding Rondo and CP3. Big Baby played 2 out-of-shape years with LA Clippers at the end of his career, 13 minutes per game or less, in a role basically mandated by Doc Rivers, and one that didn't work to the benefit of the team. I wouldn't use him as a barometer.
That's a pretty fair comment.
Yeah. Because here's the deal. I would imagine Chris Paul is, like Michael Jordan, I just watched Air Jordan on Basketball, A Love Story. Awesome. And Steve Kerr was like, oh, dude, he was rough. You want to talk about rough. But he said, if you can handle me in practice, then I know you're going to be able to handle an NBA Finals because I'm going to get on you hard and make you work hard. And that's what he wanted. And you know Chris Paul. You sat with him.
I know dude a little bit, but he is all about
obsessed.
Winning. If you're not in, and he even, I mean, he did make this comment. He goes, I didn't get along with Blake Griffin all the time. He said, but one thing I respected Blake Griffin for is winning mattered to him. Like he said, he had a lot of respect for
Speaking
Blake
of which,
Griffin.
He had 50 last night. Blake Griffin did. And the game winner. And won the game.
And everyone
so.
Made fun of Detroit. But, you know, here's the thing. He really, really wants to, Chris really, really wants to win. And I think there is a chance that he's probably not the most fun guy. If you're not all in, because he just said this. He said, like, I was shocked when I saw how many guys in the NBA, winning didn't matter as much to them as it mattered to me. And a lot of them were just there for the money. And I think if Chris thinks you're just there cashing a paycheck, he's probably not the most fun guy to deal with.
I would imagine.
Is the sense that
and
I
Big
got.
Baby was fat, out of shape. He's
At the
always
end
been
of his, yeah.
Out of shape. Yeah.
If
and probably didn't
shape,
give a rat's ass.
What does that tell a guy like Chris
Paul?
You
don't care.
Chris Paul spends time in cryo machines, drinking bone broth, doing everything he can to stay healthy so he can play as long as he can.
By the way, Chris Paul has got that fat gene. He's going to be heavier when he gets older.
He's got that fat gene. He does. I think you're right.
I think James does too.
He'll beef up a little bit.
But here's the deal: is that
James just has basketball.
Is that a bad teammate if you don't care and you're not putting everything into it? Is that really a bad teammate? We're sticking up for our guy, obviously. But I don't. This stuff that you're a bad teammate because you get on your teammates to be the best that they can be.
But do we know that's why Glenn Big Baby thinks he's a bad teammate?
No.
Because Glenn played with Kevin Garnett, who is demanding.
What do you think Dallas thinks of all those guys on the Mavericks think of Rajon Rondo as far as a teammate goes?
I imagine they don't think much of him.
Right. Remember his little episodes there? How long did he last there? A month?
Yeah, but you can be a bad teammate and recognize that someone else is a bad teammate, and particularly if people you've played with have told you the guy's a bad teammate because they haven't played together, so it would have to be word of mouth for Rondo to call him that if he's being honest.
Right, right. Well, maybe there are more than a few guys because that didn't like the way Chris Paul went about it.
Because Chris Paul has the reputation, right or wrong, of being a locker room lawyer. They know he's in with the league. Guys aren't particularly down with guys who appear to be in with the league. And he's not liked by players. And we've seen that in the past.
I can certainly see Chris Paul being a coach.
If guys would respect him.
Yeah.
I think he'd lose his head. I don't think he can. I don't think he has the patience. My guess is he has. They used to say, like, one of the issues with a lot of athletes who are high-end athletes is they just can't deal with the BS. Like, they expect everyone to be like they were. Magic even said it. He said, I couldn't. And Bird made this comment too. He said, it's hard because not everyone is going to treat the game like you did. And it's hard to deal with.
It's usually the average players that make the better coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Steve Kerr.
Because you can't expect people to be able to do the things that you did. And
most of the greatest baseball managers were just guys.
Yeah, Tony La Russa couldn't even make it to the majors.
No, A.J. Hinch, Tommy Lasorda. Yeah. You look at the long list of baseball managers who have had success, and a lot of them. Terry Francona was pretty good.
He had some moments, but he wasn't a great major league player.
Can you think of the best player ever to win a title as a manager?
The baseball?
No, like Bochy, and they were good, but
Bochy
not good.
Was just a.
I mean, Mike Socha played a long time, but
if you make it to the majors, you're a good player.
Catchers? He's a soft hitting catcher, Mike Socha. Yeah.
The best player ever, Brad Ausmus.
He didn't win a title.
Another soft hitting catcher.
Red Shandings.
No, stop.
Who
did Joe Madden ever play? I don't think Joe Madden played. No. Did he? Cardinals La Russa.
Pinella
Madden.
How good was Pinella?
Pinella was a pretty good player. Yeah. He's a pretty good player. He was, here, let me look up his stats. I remember him being
Pinella was good. He was a good player. I mean, not a great, not a Hall of Famer. You know, how many Hall of Fame type players
He had a career batting average of .291.
Pretty good.
Yeah, 300, his home
runs. No, he was a good player. All right, we got
career homers. What do you think, 18 years, how many homers do you think Luke Pinella had?
I would say
you're going to miss by 50.
260.
108.
What?
Yep.
No kidding.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was too high. 102.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
You know, how many windows do you think Allied Signing and Windows has put in? A bunch. Okay. Listen, I don't know why you would go with someone else other than a company that has had the number 713 Windows forever. 713 Windows. And Leonard Courtright and Allied Siding and Windows, a Courtright family company, they have been doing this for 30 years or more. They are an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Doesn't make any sense to go with a company that's not as good. This is the premier company to install your windows. You know, when it's a big company like this that has been doing it for this long, you know that they're going to make sure that everything is done perfectly. They're guaranteeing their work. They're guaranteeing double lifetime warranty on the windows. They're guaranteeing that you're going to reduce your electricity bill by 25%. There's no question this is the best. And why would you get anything less? The Simonton windows are second two, none. Need you to go call 713 Windows. A 30-second call sets up a 30-minute meeting. It's easy. And then you get a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole window purchase. All you got to do is call 713 Windows. 713 Windows. They're the best. Allied Siding Windows. Tom, you heard it right here.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 752 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The Giants are having
I've never seen anything like this, where they're selling off
fire
players.
Sale right now.
Like, you see this in baseball. You occasionally will see it in basketball. This is the first time I've ever seen this in football, where they have now dealt Eli Apple for a fourth.
Okay, last year he was called a cancer, though, and he hasn't played up to the first round. Okay, now they got a fourth and a seventh for him. So that's really
the Saints gave that up.
The Saints gave up their first. They gave up their third. They've given up their fourth.
What'd they give up first for?
The first was for Marcus Davenport this year, and then third for Teddy Bridgewater, and now fourth and seventh.
They almost don't have a draft.
Well, here's the deal: they're 5-1 though. They want to win right now.
Yeah. Well, while Drew Brees is, yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make some sense. And they've done a nice job in the draft before. Whether or not Marcus Davenport's ever going to be worth two first-rounders is another question. But the Giants have also given up Damon Harrison this morning. He's going to the Lions for a fifth-rounder.
Really good run support guy.
Really good run support guy.
So you're dumping some salary.
Yeah. He's making $7.75 million this year. His contract calls for base salaries of $6.75 million and $9 million the next 2 years. They dumped $20 million. I mean, and you can't play. I mean, he's 30.
Yeah.
It makes some sense. They're not gonna win now. Why pay this dude?
Yeah, I'd have to see who they have playing behind him. But yeah.
What do you mean? So they'll be worse?
Well, they got a fifth. A fifth can become a good, solid. Like, every once in a while, you'll hit one out of the park and you'll get a starter. But more than likely, you're looking at a potentially solid backup who also is a special teams contributor, usually when you're looking at fifth. So.
Well, and here's the deal. The Lions ranked 30th against the run. They've had A'shaun Robinson, Ricky Jean-Francois, and Sylvester Williams. So Damon Harrison will help them out. It's going to help. I mean, if you're running inside on a team, then Damon Harrison is definitely going to help.
He's your guy.
And for a fifth rounder, that's nice. Especially if you think, hey, the Lions are playing some good, some bad football. Inconsistent football, but they want to stop the run. I think benefit for both teams. It's so shocking, though, what I have no idea anymore. Patrick Peterson's worth a first and a second, or a first and a third, and Eli Apple's a fourth and a seventh, and Amari Cooper's worth a first? Really? Amari Cooper? I have no idea what guys are worth anymore.
I don't listen to Cowboys' value on wide receivers. They gave up two firsts for Joey Galloway. They gave up who's the other one they gave up? There's been three wide receiver deals that have been terrible for them. Well, I shouldn't say Amari Cooper's terrible. We don't know. We'll find out if he is right now or not. But I don't consider them the measuring stick for figuring out wide receiver value. But this is the first time I've seen a team say, you know what? Okay, it's one thing to get a guy who was not very well liked in the locker room potentially. We know Landon Collins had an issue with
now,
Apple.
That said,
Snacks is a real player.
That said, yesterday Landon Collins was on with Michael Kay from New York. And Landon Collins said, Michael Kay had him on, he said, so what do you think? He said, wow, it's unbelievable. I was shocked. And he said, well, but you had your issue. He said, yeah, we're behind that. He was playing better. We're boys. That's my guy. Me and Eli are good now. And then he's traded. He's like, wow, I'm shocked. And so I guess that stuff about cancer in the locker room is behind him, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe because Eli Apple wasn't playing very well and was yet walking around, you know, kind of like that fan that doesn't win and yet it continues to chirp. You know, Eli Apple hadn't played well. Apparently he's playing better. He's playing somewhat better this year. So maybe that's one of the reasons. Yeah, that whole cancer in the locker room thing is probably you're kind of an a-hole and you're not very good at your job. Guys won't like you. Mm-hmm. And that was probably Eli Apple early on.
It probably was. But, you know, I think this is interesting because the NFL, the trade deadlines never really matter much. And then they backed it up a little bit. And I've been waiting for this to happen. And we've started to see some action this year. This is the most action that I ever remember seeing. And I think it is going to make the NFL a little more interesting because you are going to have some teams now who start to dump. We haven't seen it in the past, but now we're going to have some teams start saying, okay, we're going to make some player dumps. And I think it is going to be a second free agency period potentially for teams if they're willing to give something up. I know the Texans fans want them in on Pat Peterson, and I would too. But I'm just telling you, they say they absolutely will not give them up. And if they do, I'm telling you right now, the price tag is going to be so exorbitant.
Right. Well, picking up Damon Harrison, though, that's for a really fifth rounder, that's a good deal.
That's what I mean. If this stuff starts happening, this is the NFL draft trade deadline. I mean, the NFL trade deadline is going to be a major. You know, it used to be it would come and go, and they're barely even rate a mention on the not like baseball. You know, baseball, basketball, it's huge.
Well, but is it any different if Chris Sale is on the market, like Patrick Peterson's? Well, let's not say Chris Sale, but there's a really good pitcher on the market. You're going to have to give up your top prospects. Do you want to do that? You know, I don't know. That's a decision that you're going to have to make. Do you want to give up first rounders? I don't know. You're going to have to make that decision, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's pretty similar, but you're right. When have we seen trades?
We've never seen anything like this. And Harrison's one of the premier run stoppers in the middle. Amari Cooper, you know, is still considered a name brand wide receiver, and that's a big deal to a team that needed a wide receiver. Like, we just haven't seen teams be willing to make deals before the trade deadline, but now that they pushed it back, we're seeing it. And so it makes it a little bit more interesting. I don't know that the Giants are even done right now. The Giants could do something again. I mean, clearly it helps with the salary cap, so maybe they're just getting in position to be more aggressive in free agency next year. They obviously have a plan of some sort. But this could be much more interesting for the NFL if the trade deadline matters in the NFL. Because right. It hasn't mattered for years and years. And now I'm sitting there thinking, man, could Eli Manning get dealt to Tom Coughlin's
Jags? The quarterback learning a system is going to be awfully difficult. Mm-hmm. That's going to be so hard. I mean, but it happens. Guys could trade. I mean, Brandon Whedon walked in here and beat the Colts in 9 days.
Everyone thought Teddy Bridgewater could be, you know, potentially move to a team like Jacksonville. But I don't know. I guess Saints aren't doing
it. All right. You know what else matters is having that love life and being good and making sure that everything is working properly in your love life. Well, here's the deal, guys, is that forhims.com/John5. Forhims.com/John5 gets that job done at a better price. How about $5 for the first month? $5 while supplies last. They have got the generic brands of the pharmaceutical items that you need. And if you try to go out and you go to the pharmacy and you get the name brands for this stuff, it's expensive, dude. It is expensive. So that you can get started online. You don't have to go to the doctor's office, although you will talk to a doctor online. If you can get started for $5 for the first month, that is like unbelievable, unbelievable. So that's what's happening right now. If you're looking for a great way to, if you're having any issues sexually, and it doesn't matter how old you are, don't stop being prideful. What you need to do is take care of business. All right. All you got to do is go to forhims.com/John5, forhims.com/John5.
Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.